So please welcome Michael Kaplan.
Never gone first before. I feel like I have certain co-hosting responsibilities, like I should let you know where the exits are and that the barista will be coming with free coffee soon. And... sorry, David, I guess that's not true. Okay, let's just get the theme out there on the table. The crime was blind ambition, and the punishment was public shaming. Now, some months ago, I told a story about how 20 years back, I was in the middle of the first dot-com bubble and sort of this new media frenzy. And I was working with a partner, and we were creating these large, misshapen, interactive story projects that ultimately nobody really wanted. But I felt like that was a canvas that had a lot of potential, and it was a chance for me to make a big splash, and I really wanted to. I wanted to be in the New York Times. I wanted people to think, oh, there's an innovative young man who's doing cutting-edge things. Now, I have note cards tonight. They're normally not allowed, but this is an epistolary story. This is a tale basically told in emails. And 20 years ago, email was a really young phenomenon. Not everybody had it. There were like advertisements on TV to convince people to get email. America Online had a commercial where somebody would be sitting at their computer, and that little voice would go, "You've got mail." And they turned to the camera and go, "I've got mail." And the other thing when email was really a young phenomenon is that companies and corporations did not automatically set up a server and a domain and have in-house email. They just used the commercial services. So there was a company called Digital Cities, and I don't know what they do or even if they're still around, but all of their employees used America Online. And one of those employees had an email address really similar to the one that my wife Susan used. And she would occasionally get emails that were meant for somebody else, inviting her to meetings or telling her about, you know, upcoming proposals. And she would always write back very considerately, you've got the wrong Susan, please don't send me anything more. But they would keep trickling in. And one day she got one that said, "Would everybody please check Roger's numbers before Friday's presentation?" And so with Susan's permission, I wrote back and I said, "Is it just me or do Roger's numbers look padded in the third quarter?" And then I waited, because I wanted to see, was anybody going to call us out? Was Roger going to get furious? You know, were we going to get fired from a company that we didn't work for? And this made me notice something, that I was pretending to be my wife, pretending to be somebody else working for a company we didn't know anything about, and yet there was some drama there. I wanted to know what was going to happen next. So I went to my partner and I said, "Do you think that we can do something kind of, you know, creating a story experience using email?" And he loved the idea and we started working on it. You know, I kind of wanted to do something comedic. He was in favor of doing something that was more like a thriller. And I said, "Fine." Okay. So the first thing that we did was we created a website for a bogus company called Dyson. D-Y-S-S-O-N. And, you know, we had an employee of the month page and a message from the CEO and, you know, kind of a client list. But we also kept it sort of vague what Dyson did. We called it a cooperative foundation dedicated to accuracy. And then we worked with a tech guy and we created six accounts, email accounts for employees. And then when we were ready, we pulled together emails for about 40 people who were movers and shakers in this arena. People who worked for Microsoft, people we'd had meetings with in the past, folks from MGM Online. And amidst that group was a hero of mine, Eric Idle from Monty Python. Now, I had been a comedy geek all my life. I'd loved Monty Python since I was 14 years old. And we got Eric Idle's email because he was the member of the troupe who was curating the Monty Python website. It was called pythonline.com. And so somehow we got his email address, and I was thrilled because I thought, great, we're going to be able to show Eric Idle how innovative we are, and with his sense of satire and irreverence, you know, he's just going to love it when we strut our stuff. So now this was our stuff. First thing that happened was that everybody got an email from a D. Reichert at Dyson.org. Subject, last minute question. It said, the following accounts have reference numbers way out of sequence. Do these need to be updated in some way? And it listed like four names and numbers. Sorry, this is obviously short notice, Denny Reichert accounts. And practically everybody wrote back. Because back then, you just figured an email was truly what it said it was. This was before bogus Nigerian princes, you know, and international lotteries that wanted your account number so they could wire you the money, you know, or even people who were, you know, insisting that they could help you enlarge your penis size. Everybody wrote back. They said, you know, this is obviously a mistake. And so we then sent a second email from Denny saying, sorry, I've been having trouble with my address book for some strange reason. Needless to say, I would appreciate it if you delete that letter. The next day, they got an email from somebody else. Subject, apologies. Yesterday, you mistakenly received mail from one of our employees. We apologize for that inconvenience. I would like to assure you that Dyson does not buy or sell electronic address lists. Vicky DeBiche, Director of Human Resources. People were like, yeah, okay, fine. Then they got an email from Denny Reichert again, but on his America Online account. Subject, strange favor. Hi. You may have already forgotten, but we had a little mix-up on Monday. I sent you some accounting information by accident. I was hoping you might print out a hard copy and hang on to it. I'll tell you where to send it soon. I don't mean to sound like a weirdo, but I've been locked out of my work computer. And people said, fine. Not all of them, but you know, about a dozen wrote back and said, well, I put it in the trash, but I'll take it out and I'll print it. Fine, just let me know. Then they got another one from Vicky DeBiche. Dear friend, I wrote to you recently regarding an email error. For reasons yet to be understood, you received messages from one of our members, Denny Reichert. Denny Reichert was found dead yesterday afternoon. I realize the situation is completely remote from your personal world, but our server log indicates you are one of the last people Denny contacted. Even though it was a mistake, it's very likely you'll be queried by our internal security apparatus as a routine matter. I encourage you to cooperate and hope it will not take up much of your time. Vicky DeBiche. This is why I really don't tell this story very often, because there's no avoiding largely that appalled hush that sets in around now as all of you start wondering, okay, what were you thinking? And what we were thinking was, you know, New York Times, and we want to be famous, and we think we're really clever. And what we weren't thinking is, how are people going to feel when they get this? And with our utter lack of empathy, we set off a small shitstorm as people freaked out. Some called the police. Some, you know, referred the matter to their internal legal department. Others just wrote back to us and said, for God's sakes, just keep me out of this. But the next day they got another email. Dear friend, I've received your name from Vicky DeBiche. Dyson is currently conducting a private inquiry into the suicide of Denny Reichert. I would like to take the liberty of asking a few questions. Please respond wholly at your convenience. How many times were you contacted by Denny Reichert? What information did he enclose in the body of his letters? Did Mr. Reichert ever indicate for whom those letters were actually intended? Is it possible you've met Denny in the past and forgotten? Is it possible Reichert was not his last name? Perhaps most important of all, would you be interested in assuming some of Denny's responsibilities within Dyson? Thank you in advance for all of your help, respectively, Mendiro Barrett, Vice President of Pan-Pacific Integration. This was followed by a letter from Cecilia Kahar in the Office of Recruitment, sending them a link to a secret application on the Dyson website. Around that time, they also got an email from somebody else at Dyson saying, "Don't let them snow you. Denny was no suicide." And as we had all these balls up in the air and going, after 2 weeks, we pulled apart the curtain and said, "Ta-da! It's really Michael Kaplan and John Sanborn with our innovative idea for an online immersive experience. What did everybody think?" My first indication of what people thought was when I was tipped off to go to the Monty Python website. Eric Idle had written an enormous screed about the entire experience and how he had been disturbed, paranoid, panicked, had sought out the advice of his brother-in-law who was in security, and in the end, when he found out that it was all a hoax, well, he wasn't sure, what should he do? At the bottom of the page was a little button that said, "Ah, forget about it," and an enormous button that said, "Sue the bastards." And about 450 people had clicked on it when I visited. But that wasn't all. We really did make our splash. The Washington Post referred to it as irresponsible, and Time magazine questioned whether we had a moral compass. And yes, we were in the New York Times, which wrote a whole article on it, including this paragraph. Eric Idle, one of the members of the Monty Python comedy troupe, who was also duped by the Dyson email, expressed his outrage over what he described as simply exploitation. He has since dropped off the internet entirely. In part, he said in an open message on the Python Line worldwide website, because he felt, quote, soiled by the incident. So yes, this comedy geek drove Monty Python off the internet, and I'll be around for about 5 minutes after the show if anybody wants to kick me. Thank you.